W2.
KD2KNH, into RBP.
KD2KNH, good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good, I'm doing good. I'm going to go away next weekend. I haven't gone to the range in a while. I'm probably going to go by maybe next weekend. I ordered bulk ammo. It's like $7 or $7.99 a box. So I'm saving about, what, $4 a box.
You do a lot of shooting, that's the way to do it. That's what people don't understand. I can shoot a couple of thousand rounds a year, so you buy in bulk and you make them yourself.
In a military ammo box. I found it. My dad, when he passed away, he must have had ammo. I guess when he was going hunting or just for target shooting. It must have been like 60 years old, laying there. Suffolk PD took it away. But I found in this giant bullet. It must be like a 50 caliber. I got an ammo box, but I like to use it as a paperweight. But I know I don't want to pull the bullet off of it. Let's say I put it on water and then underwater drill a little hole, pinhole in the side, and then just dump the gunpowder and just take a hammer and tap the primer and it'll just explode and nothing will happen. What should I do with that? Should I bring it to a gunsmith?
Well, I don't recommend playing with it if it's a live round. You don't want to drill it. What happens if you set off the powder inside? not worth it. It's good as is for a paperweight. I have ammo laying all over my desktop and everything. I mean, you would really have to hit that primer hard with something dead center for it to have a problem. So, you know, as long as it's in your control, it's perfectly fine.
Apply and pull the bullet out and just dump the powder.
Well, the best way to do it is with a bullet puller. Pliers are just going to damage the actual bullet head. They have kinetic bullet pullers that I don't know if they go up to 50 caliber, but you could see if a gunsmith or anybody that might have a collet puller that can just pull the head for you and dump the powder out. So, you know, it's not a big deal.
Feel comfortable because it's got a lot of powder. And maybe I go to the indoor range. They got a guy that's a gunsmith there. Maybe he could do it for me.
I don't know if anybody that has a gunsmith reloading setup at the range, but you could ask.
Put it in an ammo box, you know, so it's safe there. It's in a plastic bag, and that's where I have it.
Right, yeah, because my computer desktop is actually my reloading bench as well, so, you know, I have primed cases and bullets laying all over there. And I don't have any children to worry about, so. But, like I said, ammo itself is not just going to go off by itself.
When you fire a rifle or handgun, you got the shell gets ejected. So obviously you're taking those brass cases and you're reusing them. So the primer's been hit. It's still there, but it's like, I guess it's just no good. How do you get that out? Is it a special tool you pop it out with?
Do you have a special set of dies for your reloader, and one has a long pin on it, and the pin pushes the primer out. And, of course, you clean the brass first, push the primer out with a die. Then you just, when it's all clean and ready to go and primed, you put new powder in and new bullet heads.
Oh, when you buy ammo, we'll say grain. So say, like, for example, I think 7.62 by 31, we'll say 122 grain. I thought that was the powder, but I think that's the bullet head. Is that correct?
No reason for them to tell you powder weight. It's the bullet head. So it's whether you have 150 grain bullet, 147, 180, whatever the bullet head weight is. And also the type of bullet head, whether it's a hollow point or whether it's a soft point or a boat tail hollow point or, you know, and so on.
I guess. Now, what about the powder? Like for a certain caliber, say 9mm, I guess you have to measure a certain ounce of powder. It must be a spec, I guess.
And, you know, read up on reloading. There are books and manuals and online resources that tell you specifically for the primer, the bullet head you're using, and, you know, how many grains of powder to use in a certain range. So it might tell you, like, for 308, 41, you know, 40 grains, 40.5 grains of say, 4350 up to 45 grains. So it gives you a range to work with.
What do you, how much do you save when you, when people reload? I'm not going to do that, but when people do this reloading, well, how much you save per round? Like, what do you, how much is, are you saving? I mean, because you have to buy the gunpowder, the primer, but you're reusing the shell casing, so I guess you must be saving some money, I guess.
Absolutely. Like, if you spend $29 for a 20-round box of match ammo, I can probably make it for $5 to $7 a box.
Good. Wow. And I guess you'll buy, I guess you'll go to a sports, like either a gun shop or a Dick's or someplace, I know, sells that, and you buy everything you need.
82KNH. I don't know if you can hear me, Matt. I'm under an overpass, but I'll be out in a second.
I heard you.
Right, yes, some gun stores actually sell reloading supplies, or you buy them online and have them shipped to your house. And, you know, it's another hobby unto itself, because, you know, you have to get the exact right seating depth and, you know, powder combination with the primer you're using and the brass you're using to get the best consistent groups.
I guess anyone does that as a sub-level of the shooting hobby. I'm sure that you must keep in a fireproof cabinet or something. You know, if you get a fire, God forbid, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, but interesting. I know people do it, you know. Well, look at this. I'm going to go on YouTube just so we can watch some videos on it, you know. But I'm coming back to this hobby. I'd get on when I can because my stepdaughter's in the office slash camshaft. But I didn't get on this morning, but I did. We did the Lunar Module event with Great South Bay, and I got on. It was K2M. Let me ID. Enter RV for ID. Anyway, I could have volunteered and signed up on the database and operated the K2M from my house and just logged it, and then I could upload it with the files. But I figured it'd be tough because I didn't know when my stepdaughter was going to be in there or not, and it probably. So what I did instead. The last day, July 20th, the day Armstrong landed on the moon, we had a trailer. The radio club has a trailer, and they brought it to Gilbert Park in what's the town? Brightwater, Windsor Avenue. At the end, it's right on the water. So they got the permit. Well, I got on 20 meters. I got on 14.27. I wasn't getting some sand. Then I moved up to 280. But I worked several stations. I was going CQ, the K2M call, and it was a special event station of Grumman to commemorate the landing on the moon, you know, with Grumman and LOM, blah, blah, blah. And I got this one station, I couldn't believe it. I got Alaska, AL7KC. Back to you.
Fantastic. Good job. Glad you had fun. I had last week off, but I believe it or not, I didn't have much free time. Just had a lot of things to do. But I know you mentioned about having powder or whatever in the house, but misconceptions, Hollywood misconceptions, it just burns. It doesn't explode, so it's safe. But anyway, Matt, I'm just pulling into my parking lot. Got to say goodbye, but I'll catch you again soon. KD2KH, clear 73.
I put in two copies were delivered last week from Toshiba and went very well. You know, I exported department codes from Excel spreadsheet, and I did everything correct, and everything works beautiful. Have a great day. Info RVP is on frequency. Anybody on?
Welcome to the WA3FFJ repeater.
K2JMB from WB2ZOC.
That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
K2KMB from WB2ZOC. K2KMB from WB2ZOC.
There's nobody else to talk to you. K2KNH, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm running a little bit late. I had to make a stop, but, you know, traffic is here.
Oh, it is a Monday, and I was off all week, so Monday back to work. Not that bad.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just getting by the Kew Gardens interchange, and it's moving along slowly.
I gotta say, I don't miss the traffic part. you know how it is out here. I can't complain.
Yeah, Newsy, it's this time of the year, going east is bad.
Well, funny you should mention that. I've got to go to Hampton Bays, that's not too far east.
Nope, I'm familiar with the area. My niece used to live there.
Hey, yep, got to meet up with a trainee. I've got him with me again this week. We're switching him on and off, and he's brand new to this field, so it's going to be, it's always fun. Let's put it that way.
You gotta love it. Doing quite a bit of construction on the exit ramp over here. Hopefully it'll be better when they're done.
The problem is, do they ever get done in that way? Does it ever feel any better when they do?
Yeah, for a short time. They don't have to start rebuilding it immediately, and they, you know, they get a couple of years out of it.
Whatever they do, a nice new stretch of road out by us, somebody else is scheduled to come in and cut it all up. You'd think they'd get that work done first.
Why would they want to coordinate things?
Well, you know, you never know when the work orders are put in, but you would think it'd be coordinated. Yeah, because it's like they did a whole new stretch, like I remember a year or two ago. Beautiful road, and then they came right along and were cutting square patches and digging the thing up everywhere.
I think I'll refrain from making a comment. WB2ZSC.
Well, either that or it's right before wintertime, and you know what they do to it in the wintertime. But, I'm driving on Vets Highway now, and they've redone that recently, and it's in nice shape now.
Yeah. You know, most of the roads in here are really beat. And repaving them doesn't seem to last long because what they used to repave them with is, of questionable quality. I know the Europeans have something that lasts a lot longer, and they refuse to use that here because then they wouldn't be able to do it every couple of years.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing a special on the European roads and how they had a truck that went out with lasers measuring the depression where the tires are, and if it got to a certain point, they had to redo their roads.
Well, they will see. Anyway, the exit doesn't look too bad.
Glad to hear it. So how was your weekend?
You know, relatively uneventful.
Yeah, it's the same here. You know, as you know, I had the week off, but, you know, no matter how much free time you think you're going to get, it just never works out.
Yeah. Let me close up some of the windows I have open. There we go. WB2CSA.
B2KNH. I guess they were making some dust on you, huh?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to close the roof up because it was starting to get a little toasty.
Right. Yeah, it seems like whenever I get my car washed, it's always, you know, you drive past a construction site where It's like, why bother? Or some landscaping people blowing dust down into the road.
Yeah, well, they don't care. They don't, not their car.
Exactly. If it was up to me, they wouldn't be allowed to spray anything into the street. But that's just me.
Here we go. Air quality action day today. Use mass transit. You know,
if we could use mass transit, everybody works at a location they can take mass transit to. Well, the quality will get better.
Well, I hope so.
Just wish I could get an exemption because I can't carpool. I don't use can't use mass transit, so I should be able to use the the carpool lanes. I mean, we all pay for them.
Well, at least on the expressway you can, but it's like between 10 and 3 during the day and 8 to 6 at night. Well, 8 in the evening till 6 in the morning.
Well, fortunately, as I said, I'm not going that way much anymore, so that's a positive.
Yeah, usually when you are, it's not during those times.
There are some locations I do miss out that way, though. Some places I used to eat at all the time, and stores you were able to drop into if you needed to. Even the Micro Center or whatever that place is.
Yeah. Ooh, that reminds me. I gotta stop by there and pick something up later.
I mean, it's not like there's Radio Shacks out here. We could use the Fry Electronics, though. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Remember when you used to be able to go in and buy tubes in the pharmacy?
Absolutely. I remember pulling tubes out of the back of the TV set or a radio and going down and checking them. And good old days. 2 cent bottle returns, buying candy.
Yeah, well, long ago and far away. I remember gas at 17 cents a gallon.
Yes, in a galaxy far, far away.
That was in the late 60s.
Electronic shops on every corner.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Just a comparison to today. You could drive to one, next town or the same town. There were the Radio Shacks all over the place. And there were quite a few electronic shops around.
I remember I got out of high school and I went to work for a radio shop, and there were 600 of them across the nation, which was quite a few, and large by any standard at the time, but it grew considerably larger than that before they managed to take and tear the company apart.
I knew it was going to happen one day. You know, when the internet came along, you can't compete.
Well, you know something, that's the kind of item that you want to go in and pick up, and you don't want to have to wait for it. Like that loaf of bread or that container of milk.
Well, before you know it, you'll have a 1 hour or 2 hour delivery. I saw Target advertising same day, I think it was Target, same day delivery. And Amazon, over the weekend, Saturday, I ordered a new cover for my tablet, and Sunday morning it was sitting on my doorstep. Alexa was telling me it arrived.
Yeah. Oh, but you'd be too ZSC. It says I'll be at the office in 7 minutes, but looking at the main road of the expressway, I'm doing much better on the service road.
And that sounds like a plan. Anyway, you have a good day. I gotta stop and pick off my training now, but I'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with the traffic. KD2KH, clear 73.
WB2ZSC.
He's a son of a bitch on the air, KD2KH. Son of a bitch.
that tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is N2ZUC Mobile listening. W2HL. W2HL.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
WH1UB. WH1UB. One, two, three, four, five. Hello, radio. WH1UB, test 1, 2, 3.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
N-Y-2-H.
W2H listening.
That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
So Richard, I'm ashamed of you. In the sense of many years, I expect an apology of a goddamn line mark, okay? Sperry doesn't want to have anything to do with you, Richard. You insulted me. You don't insult Dr. Helen Goretzky, PhD in Electronic Engineering, 1983, honorable PhD. You're going to insult me, you little motherfucker? You better think twice. K6DPC clear.
To the Newsline server. This week's Newsline report will begin in 10 seconds and pause periodically.
Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2178 with a release date of Friday, July 26, 2019.
Disconnected.
There you go, NY2H and 2EO.
And 2EO, NY2H. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lou. You know, I was just at a place I'd recommend it to anybody. What was it called now? I'll have to tell you, but family practice. I got a lot of doctors there. I'm really getting straightened out, and I found out the reason I'm always tired, a little dizzy, and lightheaded. On my right side, the carotid artery has to be cleaned out. That's a real...
You dropped out.
Okay, what I said is I found a problem. They found it. I have on my right side of the neck, the carotid artery is plugged up. So I have to go to another doctor and have it cleaned out. It's one of the problems that will have an answer.
I had a friend, I have a friend who had that condition. And they did exactly that. Everything was fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, with all the surgeries I've had, I'm not afraid. How do they do it? I guess they put you out. Do they go into the neck? Do you know?
Yeah, they certainly put you out. They go through the neck. And they actually fashion a little bypass. And a temporary bypass. And then they clean out the section. And then they move the bypass. From what I understood, from what my friend told me.
Okay, did your friend do it in the doctor's office? How long was he in the hospital today?
Yeah, I think he was in for a number of reasons, and that was just one of them. So you really can't judge from that. But he, it went very well. No issues. But I think it's probably a hospital procedure, you know. So I don't think they'd do something like that in the office.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'm not glad it's there, but it is an answer to part of my problem. No other doctor found it. Who had a workup today? I don't think I ever had a workup like this. Since I went for an army physical, you know, they let me go because of my problems, but I don't think I've had a physical since then, like this.
Well, I imagine they did a Doppler scan on you, probably to catch that.
Well, I have to go for a Doppler on a few things, but yeah. It's really good. You know how I found this place? I went to, last week I wasn't feeling well. I went to one of these urgent care centers, And the doctor that referred me, they gave me a card. They told me I could go on either Yelp or Google and give them a rating. Boy, am I going to give them a good rating.
All right, very good. Yeah. I was testing here. The reason is in this temporary configuration that we have, we're running EchoLink through my home here. And I was using a laptop, and the laptop died. Oh, man, it was on for about, well, I don't know, a month maybe. And I went to reboot it because I wanted to back up the disk, and it wouldn't reboot. And what it appears to be is the graphics processing unit. Apparently they get their connectivity, you know, the soldering, the pins and everything gets a little messed up. So on YouTube, they have people actually taking hair dryers and heating the whole thing up, trying to re-ball the solder. So I don't know. We'll have to take a look at that. But anyway, I had this Lenovo, which is a club computer that we were using for another purpose. And I just finished configuring it for EchoLink. That's why I was testing. So we still have EchoLink. That's a good thing. And then Y2H.
Okay, well, yeah, Barry went back to South Carolina, and we talked back and forth on EchoLink, so I'm glad it's working. And by the way, talking about laptops, they don't use anymore, at least this office, a dedicated EKG. It's all on software now with an interface to a laptop.
Yeah, some of those machines are wild. I guess they're converging everything that way. So, alrighty. Oh, man. So, what is it? Oh, 94. Another hot one today.
Yes, it is. Anyway, I just walked in. I'm going to rest. But, brother that works here today, very nice guy. His name is Bellum, B-E-L-L-U-M or something like that. He's from, Haiti. He just went out to pick up some medicine and get me an iced coffee. You know, that's like a tradition with me. I always like an iced coffee in the morning. And would you believe, even in the winter?
Well, it's like ice cream in the winter, too, you know. Not a bad thing. All right. Catch you later. And, on the TechNet, Dick mentioned your old call again, and TCC, I think it was. And I told you it was TCF. So I'm like three away from you. And I'm thinking we probably sat in that room together over at Varick Street many, many years ago.
Yeah, it could be. I'm sure you remember... What was his name? Finkelman, the big cigar. And when I walked in there with my Tourette's, you know, I was a kid. I didn't know how to handle it. He said, "What are you called?"
Yeah, well, long time ago. But, yeah, because we were only three apart, Tom. Just imagine it. We probably went up there at the same time. Well, it was, you know, it was... If you're like me, I mean, my first call was WN2, you know, it was the novice TCF, and then it changed to WB2 TCF when I got my advanced. And I had my advanced for the longest time, and then I got this extra light, they call it now. But, and then I got the vanity call, so.
All right, fine. Well, yeah, we might have sat in the same room. It is very possible. I had an advance also for many years, and I think it was in 76, because I remember during the 200-year celebration. That's about when I went for the extra. It's a new place. You remember with the girls there doing the testing? You remember that?
No, I don't remember that. And I'm trying to remember how. I remember going for the... I was going for the general. And I passed the element. And he says, well, take the advance, you know. So I took the advance, and I passed that also. So, I think the code was 13. And, of course, extra the code would have been 20 words a minute, which I might be able to do today, but back then I wasn't that fast. So.
202.
Is there somebody else there?
I think Craig is in the OGB. Go ahead, Craig.
2EO1NY2H. Hello. Figure I'd pop in. I'm actually surprised. You both were previously advanced too. I'm not surprised. There's not many people out there that I'm usually talking to that still had their advanced and chose to get their extra.
Well, we're two of them. And I have to pass. I'm sure you too, Lou, had to pass a 20 words a minute code test. You know, after I got that, you want to hear, guys, something strange? I went down to take the telegraphist test. I did, they gave you code groups, if I recall. I did fine on the five-letter code groups. And then at 18 words a minute, straight text, I froze. The guy said to me, what happened? I said, I don't know. I went home, never came back for it. Yeah, it was...
I don't know. I don't like that, you know. They should have the test more to reflect your understanding of the concepts rather than just rote memorization of particular elements, because they take, you know, here's a bunch of questions we're going to ask. If you just memorize the answers and not know why, you know, what does that really show? Rich?
Yeah, I'm sorry, though, I stepped on you, but what I said, I'll repeat it. I had the advance. I went for the extra around 1976. And I remember right after I was gung-ho. So I went down to the telegraphist test. They gave me code groups, which I did okay. And then they gave me 18 words a minute straight text. And I flunked it. The guy said to me, what happened? I said, I don't know. I froze. Pick it up, Craig.
Yeah, thank you there, Richie. I'm glad you also were previously advanced in the past, and now you're an extra. And yeah, Lou, you're right. 20 words a minute for extra, 13 for general and advanced, and I believe novice was either 4 or 5, and I don't remember how it worked for Tech Plus. Could you give me the ropes again for Tech Plus?
Novice was 5. I imagine Tech Plus might have been 5. I wasn't really familiar with that class. It came later on, and by that time I had passed it, but I would guess that it may have been 5. Unless it came out after they dropped the code requirement, I'm not really sure, so I can't give you any fill on that. And, yeah, Rich, you may have stepped on me, but I think Craig probably heard me rather than you, just the way the system is set up and working right now, because he's on the east and I'm on the east. And since I'm talking, so that means he couldn't hear you. He had to hear me, and he'll confirm that when we come back. This is NY2H. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, well, yeah, the beeps are a little bit different, so I'm tired, so I guess I got confused. I woke up at 6. I went to the doctor. I had the ambulance at 9. Got there, had to wait for a 10 o'clock appointment. And I just got home. And Craig, if you heard, I think it's good news, not bad news. I have a clogged up carotid artery on the right side. The reason I say it's good news, I've always been a little tired, dizzy, lightheaded, and that's the reason why. So once I unplug that, I'm going to feel much better. That's the good part. Go ahead, Craig.
So, I don't really see that to be too good in any way, but I just hope everything goes all well for you. Anyway, you guys, let me hop off. I'm just sitting here at Home Depot. I'm going to get to work. But yeah, I figure I'd just sit around for a few more minutes since I came early and say hello to you guys. All right, I'll catch you guys later. Lou, over to you, and KD2OGB in the group will be clear.
was trying to cut in on the TechNet earlier, early on, but sometimes it's difficult, especially from this end. Someone had commented on the Dix audio and his signal as being, you know, pretty good. And he said, well, you know, NY2H has been working on the system, blah, blah, blah. But, in fact, it's not me, it's my team. I got good RF guys working on it, including the two Steves, so they really get all the credit. Andy helps also in that area. So they get the credit. I just want to make that clear. And, you know, thankfully things are working fairly well, and we'll be moving along. And hopefully in time we'll be able to just sit back and let the system take care of itself. All righty, Rich. You have a good one, and I got a couple of things I got to do here, so I'm going to scootle out of here. And 2EO, NY2H.
Okay, who? I did not know. I knew Steve ZSC is on the project. I didn't know Steve Chuck was on the project. Steve Chuck was on the project. That's great. That's, he runs 805, doesn't he? And then we'll let you go.
WH1UB for a test. Anybody give me a reply? Can you hear me? Over.
They swept the duplexer and tuned it. And, of course,
KD2KRO, I hear you.
Probably better than the Archons. So they get a lot of credit. You know, and I'm lucky that they're dedicated and involved.
Thank you for the report.
Yes, a couple of guys came over you on the repeater because you're on each Zoom link. But, sir, you're coming in fine. You don't have a problem. You sound great. I'm going to clear out who I know you want to go. I'm waiting to get some medicine picked up. And above and beyond, my iced coffee. Catch everybody later. N2EO will be clear.
All righty, NY2H is clear.
WH1UB.
Yeah, well, who is that?
WA2NUB, I am checking the radio out here that had apparently an intermittent microphone. It seems to be working on this repeater, and I want to check it on the DMR machine if anybody wants to move up with me to Glen Oaks.
yeah, I could get on DMR in Selden, which is linked to Glen Oaks. I mean, you sound fine here. It's not breaking out.
I can almost throw rocks at it. Well, not quite. Yeah, I have a new CSI radio in the car, and I've been trying to use it this past week, and every time I get on DMR or any thing that seemed like the microphone wasn't working, I would key up the repeater, but nobody could hear me. So I was just confirming that I'm using a internet cable, so it might be the mic cable that's bad. Just want to confirm that. Name here is Rudy, by the way.
All right, Rudy. You're not the Rudy that I see at the Limark meetings, are you?
Since I'm the only Rudy on the Limark meetings, yes, you're the one that see me at the Limark meetings. The old ugly guy, that's me.
All right, I know who I'm talking to now. Yeah, very cool. Well, I have a CS700 here, which I could turn on, and if you're on the Limark talk group, we could check it out.
Okay, I'm going to waddle over there and give a shout. I've been monitoring myself on my hand, and sometimes it seems to not work. For instance, I tried Parrot, and I got no response back from that, so I'm not sure if the original factory cable is bad or it is a microphone issue.
Yeah, now that time, there were two very short dropouts, but I'm not sure if it's because your audio is pretty hot. By the way, I'm trying to, you're going to have to give me a minute or two to find the, yeah, much, hold on a second, I got to get the right zone on this thing. Can you just give me a minute, Rudy.
And to Iowa, saying hi.
Hi, I tried to call you earlier, but now I got real help. I'll talk to you in a bit on your machine, Jeff, W-H-O-N-U-V. I'm going to switch over to Glen Oaks.
All right, I'm on my way to the post office. I'm only going to be here about 2 minutes.
But, Jeff, why don't you QSO with him on DMR and check him out and see if you can hear him?
I could do that. I'm listening there. I don't hear anybody.
Give me a chance to get there.
Boy, if you were any slower, you'd be in reverse. Send to ION-Q with Y to DMR.
Imagining that you and Jeff are probably on the same machine, and because of your settings, you're not coming over to the other machines.
All right, we just doubled the bit. I have to make some changes. I see some errors here, including Joe's ID, which, as I said before, when we were doubling, I thought I changed. So I have to take care of that. And I don't know what... All right, Lou, thank you for helping me. I got to make some changes here, obviously.
Very good. NY2H.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
This is November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. N2VHZ listening. N2VHZ Mobile, November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu Mobile listening.
N2VHZ, N2ZUC Mobile. Well, correction, N2ZUC.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Name here is Ken, Key Lock, November. Call signs N2VHZ is yours. ZUC, you said? ZUC, Zulu Uniform, Charlie? I'm in Nebraska, western side of Nebraska. I'm in about two time zones away from you. And here we have just after 12 o'clock, and I'm driving north in the western side of Nebraska in my vehicle on Echolink. Back to you.
You have the call right. Let me turn down 20 meters, just a second. And N2ZUC, the name is Ron. I'm in Valley Stream, New York. Go ahead, Ken. I've heard you on before.
Valley Stream. There's a delay on Echolink because there's a couple of repeaters I have to go in to receive before I can transmit. And when they drop, then I can transmit. So there's a slight delay between us. So what's going on 20 minutes? What's your working conditions? What kind of rig, what kind of antenna, and so forth and so on? And what are you hearing on 20? I go on HF every day, too. Back to you, Ron.
Well, there's some activity. I really didn't make any contacts. I just wanted to see if anything was on. Where do I have it? Kenwood 570DG. I have a hot mic, a desk mic, and a wire antenna. And an old Yaesu I'm working on, 1500, I think it is. 5100. And back to you, Ken.
Yeah, very good, very good. I used to work a lot of HF from my car, actually, and I used a ham stick antenna, and I had it on 20. 20 is my favorite band for HF. And it got out like gangbusters, man, but it was at the top of the solar cycle. And it wasn't this solar cycle, it was the one before. So it was good 15 years ago or 20 years ago, but it got out like crazy. And it was excellent, you know, and 20 used to always be jumping. You never know what was going to pop in. I never forget, I was sitting one day, and somebody said, "What's that antenna on your car?" And I said, I had a Ford Explorer at the time, and I had it on the trunk, by the trunk in the back, you know, by the hatch of the Ford Explorer. And they said, "What's that big black antenna?" And I said, "It's for ham radio." They said, "Oh, who do you talk to on a ham radio?" And I said, "That's an old-fashioned hobby," they say. I said, "Yeah, let me show you." So I get in the car, and I turn the radio on. I had a ICOM, I'm trying to think what it was. No, it was a Yaesu. To a real small mobile radio they had at the time. They still make it. I had the face of it up on the dashboard, and the rest of it was in the trunk. I had a remote cable, so it was a real nice setup. First contact was a guy in Hawaii, you know, and it was like, "Oh, that guy's in Hawaii?" I go, "Yeah, armchair copy on 20. I was in Germany at the time. My call sign was Delta Alpha 2 Kilo Whiskey, and that was very impressive to go from Germany to Hawaii on that first call, you know, on 20 meters. So I like 20 meters. It's always a nice surprise on there. Back to you.
Well, when I first got my general, the bands were when the sunspot cycle was at the height, and I got Slovenia and all kinds of European countries. Now you're lucky you got buddy. It's not as good as it once was, but you had a nice setup. Back to you.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's like, I remember the radio, Yaesu 857D, 857. I liked it because it had HF and VHF and UHF all in one, and it was really easy to operate with one hand. I actually used to handle the face like a remote. I held the whole faceplate in my hand and left it on my knee when I was driving and being able to switch frequencies because it was so small. It was like a Mr. Potato Head microphone, you know, with everything in one. But I remember my first contact when I had gotten HF privileges was I couldn't understand the guy's call sign at first. The band was completely quiet, no noise at all, and it was on 10 meters. And I put out a call, and it was a guy, S92SS. I didn't know what this guy was from. He was from Sao Tome EPC, the company out there, like Exxon or something. And they had a bunch of dudes out there working, and the guys in charge would be on the ham radio during the day because they could do it, you know. And I was talking, they're no longer there anymore, you know, but that was funny. And the guy came back, armchair copy. Yeah, it's hard to get involved in a hobby if you just got your license nowadays because we have stories, but to actually experience it is a thrill of a lifetime, isn't it? Back to you.
Hey, this is my. I like to react to get to know people all over, and got a RQS cards. We had a net no longer run, the International Mission Radio Association. I was net controlled for an hour, and I got so many QS cards from people all over the world. It was just a lot of fun. Back to you.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's interesting with the cards, right? It was always nice to something coming in your mailbox. You don't even see that much anymore of anything like that. It's almost like that went away now, you know? And everybody's doing things electronic now. And you don't get a QSO card. You just get confirmed that you were, like, on Logbook of the World, which I'm on also. And it's kind of like if you don't go on Logbook of the World, they twist your arm, you know? Like, come on, you know, I need you to be a member so you can confirm our contact and so forth. And you're like, oh, see, now that's my story because I live in a grid square. I do a lot of 6-meter work my whole time on a radio, always on 6 meters for years and years and years and years. And I moved out here to Nebraska. I'm the only active operator. There's about 20 people with a license in my grid square, but I'm the only active 6-meter guy in the whole grid square. So I got people, you know, practically putting a gun to my head for me to go on Logbook of the World so they can confirm the contact. So I got sucked into that whole thing, and then the QSO cards don't come anymore because everything's done over Logbook of the World, Logbook of the World, Logbook of the World, LOTW. And my whole card collection is just sitting there with cobwebs on it because I haven't touched it, and sending them out, I probably sent one out in the last year. You know, and I got like 500 sitting there, beautiful QSO cards. But nobody wants them no more with the electronic lobby. Back to you.
In a way, it's unfortunate because they were pretty to have to put up and collect. I even have them from the CB days. I used to get cards from the Carolinas and Florida and so on. What's the temperature there, by the way? It's 95 here today in Long Island.
Yeah, we got 80, and it's supposed to go up maybe to 85. We get a couple of 100 days, but, you know, it's nothing like by you. We don't have a humidity, very low humidity because we're high above sea level. I live at 4,000 feet, you know, above sea level, which is very bad because, I mean, yeah, the air is thin, you can breathe better, but it's just bad for HF work. It's bad. It's a black hole. The higher you go, the worse it gets, I found out, and with HF and with 6 meters, and it's terrible, you know, very bad. I spoke to another ham that goes on HF in another grid square where I was traveling through. And I said, you know, he's been on the air 50-something years, 60 years. And he confirms that we live in a black hole. When you live up high, for HF, it's very, very difficult, very bad. So that's a fact, I can say. But I used to love the QSO card collecting. I did a lot of it with shortwave, you know, back in the days when there was a lot of shortwave stations. And CB. I can give you my CB call sign. It was KAJR7900. You know, you can't even look them up. I tried looking up CB call signs. FCC never put them in a database. But that was my call sign, KAJR7900.